Praise the Lord. Here in Hebrews 11, we've seen some beautiful glimpses into the Old Testament. God chose to list these as victories of faith. And we saw the Passover a couple of weeks ago and the faith that was involved there and how that pictures salvation in the life of God's people. Then next, the Bible talked about the passing through the Red Sea, which for Christians pictures baptism, but also, again, was a step of faith by the Israelites to trust God and go through the water or through the dry land with the water on both sides and watch God work a miracle. And then last week, God recorded about how they went into the Promised Land and how He gave them very specific instructions. And if they would just obey His instructions, He knocked the walls of Jericho down and allowed them to go in and take that first city in the Promised Land. So God carries on here tonight in recording these victories in the Old Testament. And tonight He talks about a Rahab. So notice there in verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. So this fourth little glimpse into the Old Testament about Rahab, the harlot, and that will take us back to Joshua chapter 2 after we go to the Lord in prayer. So Lord, give us wisdom and your presence and blessings as we go to your word tonight. Teach us through it. Thank you for it. And may we learn tonight and grow. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Joshua 2, as we look at the story of Rahab and understand what she did by faith, in such an amazing way that God recorded her name for us in Hebrews 11, the great hall of fame of faith. So here in Joshua 2, verse 1, the Bible says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now you're thinking, wait a minute, last week we looked at the walls of Jericho coming down, so why did God step back in time? Well, because He's listing the fact that Rahab's life was spared after the walls of Jericho fell down, which happened chronologically after. But we're reading about the life or the story of Rahab and anything that we can learn about faith that resulted in her life being spared. Remember, when they took Jericho, every living thing died except for Rahab and those that were in her house, as we'll see. And so her life was spared because of faith. So down in verse 6, it said, she had brought them up on the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan under the fords. And as soon as they were pursued after them, they were going out, they shut the gate. So she lied for the spies when the people came to inquire and hid God's spies. And verse 9, she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. So notice she's using the word Jehovah there. She's saying, I know that Jehovah has given you this land. So she knows about God's promise to give Israel the promised land, and Jericho was part of that. And she says, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. So that story was spread abroad, what God did when He killed the Egyptian army, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. So you can see here that Rahab is trying to convert to Judaism because she's living in a Gentile city that would have been worshiping false gods. And yet she's saying to these two spies, Jehovah's given you this land and your God, He is the God in the heaven above and in the earth beneath. So to be able to even make those statements shows that she is making a decision to not follow what she's been taught and raised with in her city, but to convert to the God of heaven. So verse 12, therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord since I've showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." This is what happens when somebody converts to the Lord, isn't it? The first thing that happens is they get concerned about their loved ones. We've all experienced it. First thing, meet someone to the Lord, they're all immediately concerned about their spouse, their parents, their children. It's just what happens. And so she says, I believe that your God is the God of heaven. Please spare my family. And all of that are connected to them. She said, not just my mother and father and brethren and sisters, but it says, and all that they have. So my entire extended family, please save them. And the men answered her, our life for yours. If ye utter not this, our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. So they've heard her request, and they said that when the Lord gives us the land, we will honor your request. So verse 15, she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. So in Old Testament times, the cities that had the big walls, and when you think of a wall, these walls obviously were very thick enough to actually walk on. There was a walkway on top. And so often, because they were that thick, there were actually apartments built into the walls. And so she lived in one of those apartments built into the side of the wall, which meant her window would have been one that went right out off the wall, off the outside wall. And so she let them down by a rope. And she said, verse 16, go you up in the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned. And afterward, may you go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst lead us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. So a couple of interesting things. This word that's translated line here in verse 21, the same Hebrew word in other places is translated hope or expectation. Now isn't that interesting? It shows up 34 times, and most of the times it's translated hope. Here it's translated line. God makes no mistakes. Without the line, she had no hope. So is it a coincidence that it was scarlet? Of course not. So what did this scarlet thread represent? Any thoughts? It takes us back to Exodus 12. Let's go back there. And so it's beautiful how all this is tying together. You know, it could have been blue. It could have been purple. It could have been yellow, but it was scarlet. And here in Exodus chapter 12, which we looked at recently, we know what it tells us. Down in verse 7, they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. So remember, they had to put the blood on the doorpost at the Passover. And then the death angel passed over that house. God says in Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9, without shedding of blood is no remission of sin. So, It's not a coincidence it was scarlet, and it's not a coincidence that the word they used for line is the same word for hope or expectation. That was her hope. And they said it all comes down to that scarlet thread or scarlet line. You've done everything right. You've protected us from the soldiers. You've helped us to escape so that we can go back and give a report. And we will spare your entire family only if the cord is in the window. So think about that. If the cord fell out of the window, they all died. So it all came down to the scarlet thread. And it's called a thread there in verse 18. It's called a line in verse 21. But the scarlet thread was their hope. And sure enough, as we'll see, go to Joshua chapter 6. Sure enough, when they went into the city, they saw the scarlet thread. Actually, before they went in, notice Joshua chapter 6, verse 16. It says, it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you this city. And that's where we stopped last time when we looked at the walls of Jericho fell down. But look at the next verse. This is Joshua speaking to the entire nation of Israel, 2 million people. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. So before he sent them in to take the city, just before they shouted and the walls fell down, remember Rahab and protect her family because of what she did for us. Now, if you look on down in chapter 6, down in verse 22, it says, Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Verse 25, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive in her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So every single person, every family member came into the house. Sound familiar? Remember the Passover? It was all based on what houses had the blood on the doorpost. You know, when the prison keeper came in and fell down before Paul and Silas, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. In other words, once salvation comes to a house, it's much higher probability that the house is going to get saved, isn't it? And I think God is showing us that. So it says that after Jericho fell, it says in verse 25, she dwelleth in Israel. So she was actually allowed then for the rest of her life to live with Israel, even though she was a Gentile and a harlot. But you know what? That's not the end of the story. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. So this harlot who helped the spies, who converted to Jehovah as the one true God, and who trusted God and tied the scarlet line outside her window to protect her and her whole family from destruction, became part of Israel. Now, Matthew chapter 1 is the genealogy, from an earthly point of view, of the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God. Amen? And verse 5, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Do you remember Boaz in the book of Ruth, who became the great-grandfather of none other than King David? Boaz was Rahab's son. How about that? So Rahab eventually had a son. It looks like she didn't have children when this happened here in Joshua. But she eventually had a son, this harlot, whose name was Boaz, who then, remember, became the kinsman redeemer, married Ruth, and then they had a child named Obed, who had a child named Jesse, who had a son named David. So Rahab was the great-great-grandmother of King David. And, in the course, therefore, in the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 1. Isn't God good? So when God mentions her here in Hebrews 11, and it says, by faith Rahab perished not, God went further than that and not only spared her life, but allowed her to become part of the genealogy of the Creator of the universe. Isn't that something? The great-great-grandmother of King David. So how beautiful is that? By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Amen.